email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Dil Vikramasinghe and Anne-Marie Toole have been together for 13 years and married for 8 of those 13 years. Last year, they decided to embark on a new journey in their relationship by becoming polyamorous. And now they're in a throuple. Yay! After meeting their girlfriend in December. Dil and Anne-Marie join me now. And we should say at this point that we'll be discussing issues around relationships and intimacy that might not be suitable for younger listeners. Anne-Marie, how are you?
I'm really good, Ray.
Dil, how are you?
I'm brilliant. If you're going to be in a throuple with you for the next 30 minutes.
Whoa. Is that the way it works? Just like that? Just like that?
Just like that. Yeah.
So for people who don't know you, Anne-Marie, so just tell us about your relationship with Dil and how you met and all of that sort of thing.
Dil and I met 13 years ago. I had just come out at the age of 29. And literally 5 minutes later, I met Dil. We connected straight away. We had a really good, just a very good, interesting, exciting journey through just getting to know each other, then parenthood. We set up a business together. We set up our psychotherapy practice together. It's been amazing. Yeah. And it's been exciting. It's been an adventure.
Yeah. So we spoke in 2018 and you were pregnant with Xavier.
That's right. Yeah.
What age is Xavier now?
5 and a half.
I should have been able to do the maths. Yeah.
He's crawling around in your control room
right,
as you speak.
And Phoenix is out there as well.
Phoenix is out there too.
So you have two boys. What age is Phoenix?
Phoenix is just turning 8. He's 7 now, turning 8 in May.
Right. So you came out at 29, which is old enough, isn't it?
Which is late, right? Indeed, yeah. And it's relevant to our discussion today. It is. My own sense of what happened for me there, it was probably the organic process to come out at 14. It didn't happen through for various reasons. But at that stage of my life, it felt safe enough to actually go into, to connect and feel into my sexuality at that point.
Yeah.
And I came out. I was fortunate enough to be able to do it at that point, which was really very an enriching experience for me at that stage in my life, and a very, 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 very necessary one.
Because it lifted this load off your shoulders, yeah. I would imagine.
Incredibly, incredibly, yeah.
Because we know, I'm reading out this all the time, if you're living a lie, the bigger the gap between your true self, for want of a better phrase, and this face you're putting on for the world, the bigger that is, the more likely you are to suffer from some sort of mental illness.
Absolutely, which was indeed my case.
I was
struggling with mental health concerns as a result of not being able to connect with that true part of my identity. Mm. And in terms of the inauthenticity of not being able to express this part of who you are, it really does weigh down weigh us down inside. And it impacts our joy and our pleasure and our excitement of living life afresh.
Yeah.
And we can feel that very, very quickly when that's starting to happen for us. So it's really important we act on it and speak to it if it's something that we're experiencing.
It wasn't actually 5 minutes, though, was it? That was.
Oh, no,
was it literally five minutes?
It was about a month later.
Or a month later.
A month later.
That you met Dil.
Which was incredible.
Yeah, she literally came out and met the gold standard of lesbians. Right here. So why look anywhere else? Then.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Dil, the gold standard in lesbians. What's your memory of meeting Anne-Marie for the first time?
Oh, my goodness. So it was a big story. We met at a mental health retreat. And actually, it was the day that Jerry Ryan died. And I remember driving up to Wicklow, listening to the news, quite upset about the news. And when we got there, I was told that because it was oversubscribed, I had to share a room with another participant. And I was like, this is a mental health retreat. The last thing I want to do is share a room with another basket case like myself. But I thought to myself, look, I'm here. I've got here. Let me at least meet the person I'm supposed to share a room with. And next thing you know, someone tapped me on the shoulders, turned around, saw these incredibly stunning blue eyes. Mm. And that was it. And I just said, can I make you a cup of tea? And it was instantaneous.
Right. And then you were in a relationship, then you got married after 2015.
That's right.
Yeah.
Incredible moment.
Yeah. And the lead up to all that must have been amazing, particularly for you, Anne-Marie, because you'd been, I suppose, in the closet for so long.
Well, and unknowingly, Ray.
All right.
One thing being in the closet with awareness, there's another being in the closet without it.
All right.
Which was when I came out at 29, I came out to myself at 29. It was as big a surprise to me as it was to anybody else. But yes, the 2015 lead up and experience was palpable for that time period in the country. And then the exuberance and the joy and the exhilaration of what occurred there. It was fabulous. And it was very, very enlivening and awakening for a lot of people.
Yeah. So you got married and then you had the chats and you decided to have a family. Mm-hmm. And we've established that already. You have two lovely boys.
I was pregnant with Phoenix, in the run-up to the referendum.
Yes, right.
So that was a very exciting time for us because we were in the middle of the...
were pregnant.
Yeah.
So both of you carried a child.
That's right.
Which isn't always possible for couples.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was important.
We were like a Celtic Tiger home. We have two ovens. So you may as well use them both, you know? Yeah. And full equality.
Well,
now
you have three. That's sorry.
Yeah, I know. No. My gosh. No, we're done.
No.
Thank you. The shop is closed, lads.
Okay. Right, so let's get to polyamory then. So who'll define polyamory for me?
So polyamory, Ray, is having multiple romantic relationships and doing so with full consent with everybody. So everyone has to consent to your ability to have these multiple relationships. And I suppose in many ways, it's like the opposite of cheating, the opposite of being unfaithful, you know, in inverted commas, because that's what usually can sometimes happen in a relationship where without consent, someone will go off and play offside and whatnot. And that brings utter devastation and heartbreak, not just to the partner, but also to the children. And I come from a family where that was the case. Out of a 23-year marriage, 12 years of that, my father was unfortunately doing that. And I remember as a child feeling incredibly betrayed. And the house felt so unsafe and so fragile, like the ground under my feet was not solid, you know. Mm. So this is very much the opposite. It's much measured, it's calm, it's controlled, and everyone's needs and happiness are considered.
Okay. So who broached the polyamory thing?
So that would have been me.
Okay.
Think it's me, but it wasn't me. It's the quiet ones.
I suppose if I was asked, I would have said Dill.
Everybody in the country thinks it was me. It wasn't me.
Okay, well, there's a few bits to it. Okay,
right, okay.
We've mentioned one in terms of my later coming out in life. But in terms of last September...
Okay,
when,
now let's just... Because that's important.
Yeah.
Now that you said it. Because you went straight from coming out as a lesbian to going into a relationship
that's
and then
right.
get married. So you had no experience of anything else.
Exactly.
Now, that happens for a lot of people.
That does happen for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I remember consciously at the time, because...
When I say it happens for a lot of people, I mean in heterosexual, homosexual... people marry their childhood sweethearts. And that's
exactly
when
right.
happy. Yeah.
So I suppose just to preface that a little bit, the description Dill has given there in terms of polyamorous relationships, we have what I would say certain innate ways that are really, really natural to us in terms of how we relate, how we connect in relationship. I always knew that was me. I always knew I needed more expansive, more diverse ways of connecting. So polyamory in and of itself was never a new concept for me. It was something that I always knew fitted very naturally with who I was. So I remember very consciously when I met Dill at 29 and knowing this was a phenomenal, incredible woman. And I knew that our relationship would develop into a long-term commitment. I remember at that point kind of registering with myself, this probably means that all of what you want in terms of other connections and other relationships probably won't happen.
Yeah.
And I remember that being a conscious choice going, do you know what? This is definitely not a relationship with Dill that I want to walk away from. So that other part of me.
So you signed up for monogamy?
At that point.
Yes. Okay.
At that point, most certainly, because it felt in a very new experience of a relationship and then in a very fresh coming out process, that was most certainly enough at the time. So then our relationship developed, but I effectively brought this to Dill more tangibly last September, but it wasn't a new thing for Dill. We had talked about it throughout the 13 years. And when I brought it to Dill in September, I knew that our relationship as it was then was rock solid. I knew it was the right time for her, and I knew it was definitely the right time for the family and for the family system to be able to integrate the change that this would likely bring about.
And so prior to that, whenever you broached the subject, I was literally, you know, it's like I would put my hands on my ears and go, la, 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 I don't want to hear this, you know, because it was just so scary for me.
Except this in September. So in September, there had been chats about it.
There had been chats about
vague
it throughout
chats.
The years. No,
okay,
not
right.
so vague. No.
So what was different about the chat in September then?
I suppose I knew, Ray, in truth and in connection with Dill, I knew that this was the point that she was ready for it. Dill had just completed a really significant 5-year training period in psychotherapy. This involved mammoth self-exploration, real connection with her core self. My antenna, my intuition about this throughout the entire relationship was, I think this is something that could work really, really well for both of us.
Right.
But that only works in both parties already. This was never about bringing chaos and destruction into the relationship. This was about expanding into more joy, more love, more connection.
So it wasn't that there was somebody there.
No, there was nobody there.
It wasn't that you were sort of retrospectively trying to include somebody else in the relationship.
No,
that wasn't
that,
it.
That could have gotten really tricky
yes.
if that was the case.
Yes, no.
No.
So you had the chat. Dil, you put your hands over your ears initially.
No, not in September, beforehand.
No, beforehand.
Beforehand, yeah, beforehand. Because I was aware of that, of the fact that Anne-Marie had literally been out 5 minutes before she met me. And it just came up over and over over the 13 years. And I remember...
Was she curious about your experience then, before ye got together?
Yeah.
I
came up when I was 16, so yeah. I had more experience. I got a chance to sow my wild oats and all that stuff, you know. But I was always conscious that Anne-Marie didn't. And that it kind of pained me that our timing was amazing. We were meant to meet when we were meant to meet. But unfortunately, it kind of robbed Anne-Marie the experience of, you know, having more experiences. So we, this conversation had come up, but each time it was very frightening for me. Because, you know, it's all about your attachment style. You know, my attachment to Anne-Marie is incredibly strong. Also because I don't have a family of origin. And there's, I was expecting my Anne-Marie to be not just my partner, my business partner, my best friend, my family. There was a lot of... pressure that I put on Anne-Marie, and the idea of possibly losing her was just inconceivable for me, absolutely inconceivable. But exactly as Anne-Marie said, in September, after the fact that I did the 5-year training course and then a 4-year training course, and then last year in particular was the worst year of my life because I lost my mother because she was 88, and then 40 days after that my sister died by suicide. So the grief that I experienced was unprecedented, and it was like an earthquake had hit my life, you know, and our own family, you know. So I lost this incredibly deep connections to two people that I never got enough of, and when Anne-Marie said this to me, I remember thinking, maybe this is a way for me to actually create and invite more love and connection in my life. Because I have loads of friends, but there's a difference between having an intimate a sexual relationship and a friendship. And I thought maybe this could work for both of us. Give Anne-Marie those experiences that she's been craving for and give me an opportunity to have more love and connection in my life.
Yeah. That's the theory of it, isn't it?
I would add to that, Ray, all of what Dil has described there within the commitment of our existing
yes,
relationship.
Because that's
really important.
You were interviewed in The Independent over the weekend. And I'll just quote yourself back to yourself, Dil, because you go, Anne-Marie and I have been together for a long time and we're very happy together. We love each other and everything in our relationship works. I suppose people at home are going, well, yeah, there you go.
What more do you want?
Yeah, exactly. they would be saying that.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think there's a few bits to that. One, I think neither Dil or myself would be described as wanting to be defined by any kind of limitation.
Right.
I think, again, speaking to, we have to go inside with this stuff, Ray. We have to connect with who we are to understand what we want and need in life. In this case, in our relationships, I knew I needed something like this. So in that instance, if I'm not speaking to it and expressing those needs and looking for them to be met, why not? Am I getting caught then in the stigma? Am I getting caught in the I shouldn't? Which to me is not a good enough reason not to go and speak to those needs and really try to live as full and a joyful life as possible.
And we're also
I'm wondering, do we all have unmet needs? That's
sure.
part of being human.
Mm.
And most people, I suppose, don't act on those unmet needs and they get on with it. I suppose that's isn't it, for most people? You would see that in your work.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Big time. But that at the core of your mental health is that.
Yes.
So maybe if people were more open to meet their needs with consent, especially
yes.
if you're in a relationship. If you're single, of course, you can do anything you want. Yeah. But if you are in a relationship and you have children, why not try and meet those needs?
Okay.
Because ultimately, it's going to improve the quality of your life and
okay.
the quality of your relationship.
So you consented.
We did.
So the next step, what was the next step then?
The next step, we connected with some of the dating apps
Which no, was, but, sorry, before that, we did the research.
Emotional research. Work. Come on. I cannot forget that part.
Yeah. No. I'm a journalist as well, and research is so important. So we work with clients who are polyamorous, but for ourselves, we had to kind of refresh our memory on all the material there. And we podcasts, books, we connected with the polyamory community in Ireland, right. Support groups, did the emotional work, and we were in personal therapy, and we engaged a psychosexual therapist. So there was a team of people. I'm not joking. There was a team of people. And this whole thing, anyone listen to this and thinking about doing this, please, you know, do this in a controlled, measured way. Don't go after one chat, oh yeah, let's do this, and then go on an app and then expect things to go
no,
well.
No, it wasn't a decision you took lightly at all. And you've been talking about it for years.
No, the emotional work was hard, Ray. Yeah. From a couple perspective, from a relationship perspective, we went into, and I'm so deeply proud of the work that Dylan and I did before this started. We went into every unhealthy pattern that had developed.
Should relationships be work, though? I know they are work, but that amount of work, was there any time since September that you thought, no, this isn't...
See, it's funny because the word work actually see our girlfriend or partner would actually have an issue with the word work because we use that as a psychotherapist. Anything to do with emotional work, you know, I often think like an artist who's doing their work of art and they're sweating over it, but they're getting so much enjoyment. Well, that's what we are doing on ourselves at the end of our life.
Work, yes.
If we can look at ourselves and I'm a work of art at the end of our life, great.
So eventually you went on an app. Is there a polyamory app?
Well, not a specific. You can state your preferences on any of the various dating apps. We got good advice on which ones to choose, which were the safer ones. And we learned a lot. App culture is a really effective way of meeting people these days, provided one is informed, one has support, and one understands how to use it safely and is feeling strong on themselves in that.
Did you go on as a couple? Is that the way
you did? We did initially, That's what we did. Right. And that worked really well because we were very clear and transparent about which is important.
Yeah.
And you will see an awful lot of that in app culture as well. That's really important. And then from there, then we had some really positive connections. And from that, then about a month later, we met C.
Yeah, we never actually met anyone in person. We had a couple of, you know, WhatsApp chats and we had one video call. And C was kind of known to us and known to me because she works in the NGO sector. So I saw her on the app and I didn't want to like her because in the sense that I knew her and Amory didn't. And I thought maybe we should only engage with people that neither of us know.
Right.
But didn't see go and like both of us, you know? So she kind of made the first move. And I was like, oh, okay, well, Amory, what do you think? Will we chat and see? So we chatted for a couple of weeks. And then we met, had our very first date. The attraction and the connection was instant. And
for both of you?
Yeah.
For both of us.
Right.
Yeah.
So both of you had to like her in a sexual way and she had to like both of you in a sexual way.
Sexual, emotional,
romantic,
spiritual,
yeah, but
all
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, attracted
all of it.
To you.
Absolutely.
In the whole
the
package.
Broad range, exactly.
Yes, yeah. What are the chances of that happening?
I know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
That happened in the way that it did.
Right. So you're now in a throuple. With C.
Mm-hmm. Can I tell you a funny story about our first date?
Will you hold it? Because I have to take a commercial break. Sure. So we'll talk about the first date with C and what it's like to be in a throuple with Anne-Marie and Dill after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now we're talking to Dill Vikramasinghe and Anne-Marie Toole, founders of Insight Matters, about being in a throuple with C. So we've got to the first date and you want to tell a story about the first date.
So walking up to the date, I was saying to Amory, how are we going to know whether we like her? You know, maybe you might want to make a quick exit, you know, exactly, because it's having two people to be attracted to another person is hard. So we kind of came up with this signal that Amory would take off her bangle if she wanted to leave. If she wanted to leave and she was uncomfortable, she would take off her bangle and hold the bangle in her hand. So then the date started. And at one point, Amory was so animated that her bangle actually flew off her wrist. So I was like, oh my God, the bangle has flown off. What does that mean? So then I went and I reached, got the bangle, gave it to her. And then she was holding the bangle while she was talking for ages. And I was sweating bullets here because I was thinking maybe she wants to leave and I don't
That's
know.
Funny.
Yeah, so there you go, the bango. Yeah. But Amory was the closer at that.
But you went away from that date then, had a chat afterwards.
Yeah.
How did that chat go?
Do you know what, Ray? It was actually seamless. The connection was just really easy. Another big piece of all of this, when we talk about polyamorous relationships, we have to lean into the boundary setting, the commitment, the need for really informed discussion. And infusing all of that for both of us was fun. It had to be fun. It had to be. It had to have pleasure attached to it. In it, that just all happened so easily with C from that first date. So it was, the chats were, hey, and how was that for you? But we kind of already knew.
Yeah, and had C been in a polyamorous relationship before?
No.
Right. Okay. Yeah. You're right. I'm intrigued by you broaching it, Anne-Marie.
Okay.
Right, and if Dil said, "I'm not interested."
You see, these things we talk about.
Were you in a position of power?
Okay, so how would I answer that?
Nice question, right?
Nice question. It's a good question.
Carefully,
okay,
counselor.
So we have to look at the nuance of the 13-year relationship. It wasn't the first time I'd brought this to Dil. There was a sense in me, knowing Dil so well, that this was the right time for Dil. I would say that from the moment I broached this with Dil that time, we co-created everything from then on.
Okay.
That's the most accurate way to describe this process.
Now, people are curious, aren't they? People are, there's sort of a salacious curiosity about throuples. And we've seen that recently in the papers. How does it work? Is there a ledger sort system?
Might you be talking about sex, Ray?
Yeah.
I'm talking about sex and just like time spent with a person, attention given to a person, whatever it may be, whether it's sexual or romantic or just sheer minutes, hours and minutes, that are you clocking it up? Are you keeping an eye on it? Is that the way it works? I'm intrigued.
Well, first of all, we're three mums, so we don't have time. We don't have oceans of time, so we just have to be really good at multitasking. We have to be really good at ensuring that the time we do.
I suppose that was a sort of a man's mathematical way of saying, is there jealousy? How do you talk about that before it happens? Is it inevitable that it will happen, or not?
I would say all of the above.
Right.
You do talk about it we talked about it amongst each other to say, hey, if this occurs, when it occurs, how do we deal with that? And we all agreed that as soon as the person felt safe enough to express their feelings, that we all just sit and talk and connect in it. Jealousy is a really natural part of this process, but both of us have experienced it. But in terms of, to speak from my own experience, when it did happen, it was about understanding the why of it. Why is it there? And creating as much space for it as a legitimate emotion as any other that was arising from the experience, and understanding it as in the context of unmet need. Something is happening for somebody if they're feeling a jealousy in this context. In my own experience, when I experienced it, I knew I had a deep sense of happiness for Dil and C in their connection and the deepening of their relationship. Mm. When I started having those feelings, it brought to my awareness, what's happening for you, Anne-Marie? Something is going on there that you're not fully connecting within yourself. You need to spend a little bit of time with that. You need support from Dil and C in order to do that and really understand. And once I did that, I was able to say, okay, yeah, that's what this is. In other words, it's not... Jealousy gets a bad rap. It's nearly like something we shouldn't be feeling. So if we are, I need to chase it away quietly and in solitude. Maybe I need to be feeling a bit of shame about it. Not at all. It's a really natural, healthy, organic emotion in relationship. And we need safe connection and attuned support to be able to
articulate
deal with
it. Just say it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And this word.
And empathy.
This
sorry,
word,
Ray. Empathy is deeply important in this entire process of what we're doing.
A new word to me is compersion.
Beautiful. Yes, I love
beautiful compersion. Yeah. I hadn't heard it until I read that article, and then I was watching a YouTube video today, and there it was again, compersion. So it's obviously a word that the polyamory community use,
and it's very much to
what's
describe
it mean?
Describe the happiness and joy that you experience when you see your partner feeling happy and fulfilled by another romantic partner, which is the opposite of jealousy. And just like Anne-Marie, there were moments at the start where I felt jealousy as well, connected to my own insecurities. But overall, I found this feel, I didn't even know what compersion would feel like, but I would feel this enormous gush of love for and gratitude, gush of love to Anne-Marie and gush of gratitude to C when I saw the two of them connect and see, and I would see Anne-Marie come alive and sparkle when she was in C's company. And I was like, oh, I'm so happy that Anne-Marie is experiencing this. And I got to see Anne-Marie through fresh eyes. And I'm learning new parts of her.
I'm aware that your two sons are outside. Mm. So yeah. I don't want to talk about the details of, you know, the sex part of it.
Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because, or are you comfortable? How did you communicate this to them?
Okay, so bringing it into the family is another consideration naturally in this. And again, it's really important that you attune where the family system is at, where the kids are at, independently in their own emotional resilience, independent of all of this. Again, that informed my timing of bringing this to Dil, because I knew the kids were ready at the ages that they're at. And then the kids, we organised it such that you never bomb drop a kid with anything like this. It's too much. You need to give them context, you need to give them safety, and you need to give them attuned connection. And the first way to do that is we arranged that we meet C and her kids before we actually explained the relationship to the children. So we met, we went for a movie in town, we enjoyed, we went for dinner, and we met a few times. So the kids bonded really, really naturally with C, which we weren't surprised by, but we were overjoyed about.
And her kids, they loved it. The kids just got on like a house on fire.
Really enjoyed,
similar
right?
Ages.
So all of that is already there. So it's not an unsafe thing. So then when the time was right, again, we have our family chats around the kitchen table, and I basically explained it. I said, hey guys, we brought it back to what the absolute core of this is all about for Dil and I. And it's really, really simple, which is good with kids. Love. And I basically said, hey guys, you know the way mommy and mama love each other? Yeah. Well, mommy and mama love C. And then they were kind of like, okay. And then I explained a little bit further that the love we have for C is different to the love we have for our friends. And then our Phoenix immediately was kind of said, hey, or it's weird. And I think he had some funny chats with you about it afterwards.
He said, are you going to marry her? And I immediately said, no, actually, we can't marry her. And I kind of immediately got on a soapbox. That's really not fair. And, you know, Anne-Marie was like, come off the soapbox. We can, that's a fight for another day. But his response was like, that's weird. And then over time, we've been checking in, you know, how is it for you now? How's it for you? And he went from weird to weird good to now even more recently to good.
Okay.
So it's been a journey. Well, Xavier, on the other hand, was just more enthralled with the fact of that we kiss C on the lips, you know? That's
a sign that it's different to a friend.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
So initially, it was all three of you together when it came to kissing on the lips. And now you've branched off.
Yeah.
How do you arrange that? Is it a rota system or...?
On the fridge, and it's on the fridge as well, yeah. So really important in the foundational months is that there's connection for all three together. Mm. That you're building a foundation here, a relational foundation of trust, commitment, and honest communication of needs. So we spend a lot of time together in the early months. And then naturally, Ray, as relationships are, they need to be organic in order to be fun, right? It's at a certain stage in that, it becomes unnatural that the three need to stay together for the enjoyment to continue. That just becomes like, oh, you know, while it's a natural part of the beginning, it became unnecessary. Mm. And then it became very simple. Hey, do you two want to go off on a date? Beautiful, I'll stay with the children. Do you two want to go and have a walk in the park? Lovely, we'll do that. It just became really, really natural, as relationships are.
And you're dating as well outside of the trouble.
I'm dating outside of the trouble as well.
Where do you get the time?
Which is, you know, that's true.
I don't know, Ray. I really don't.
Busy schedule, but it's again it's within the context of the commitment and the context of the family structure and what the family can hold in the greater. I never lose sight of that 360 in therapy term container that's holding holding all of us.
So you're in the honeymoon period with C, and you know, because you're bright people and you're psychotherapists, that there is this phase of any relationship where there's sort of, call it lust. I think there's a
new energy.
There's a psychological term, limerence, you know.
New relationship
which
energy.
Eventually plateaus as opposed to fades. What happens then?
So, and it's an interesting question. My sense of the relationship with C, yes, I understand what you're saying about the timeline, but the foundational connective pieces there are,
you know, and you know that this early on.
Oh, absolutely, right. Yeah. No, I trust my antenna, Ray. Look how well it worked the first time.
Yeah, that's right. Go stand on
Elizabeth.
Can you predict what Annie Tex is saying here? Because you've heard it all before. You've heard it all before. What do you think they're going to be saying? Any idea?
We are attention seeking. Why are we sharing such private information?
Well,
what
you
about
can
the
answer,
kids?
You can answer that. You can answer. Why are you sharing such private information?
Because for the work that we do in Inside Matters, we've been working with polyamory clients for years, and the one thing that always comes up over and over and over again, especially if the clients have children, is the fact that they feel that they can't share it. They can't share because this is like a sexual identity.
Yeah,
you know, and everywhere you look, it's all about being monogamous. You know.
So, and the other one is, what about the children? And what about the children? Is there any research about the children of polyamorous couples, troubles?
I'm sure there is, but we decided to practice sex positive parenting, which is about being honest about sex and not shaming it. You know, we use the correct terms.
But age appropriate.
Parts. Of course, age appropriate. Yes, yeah. But being
so
matter of fact.
You say penis and vagina.
Yeah,
and
matter of fact, and what happens during sex and all that. So, but it's about not making it shameful.
Right. Sorry, but this seems to me just like having your cake and eating it. I knew that one was going to come in. Can you please ask the couple if there is a concern about insecurity developing when two of the three getting on better? We've addressed that. And my wife asked me to explore being in similar polyamory relationship. After researching it, decided against it. Everything I read on the topic was directing me towards one party being submissive or coming out poorly. My wife cheated on me after. I would caution anyone from my little knowledge on the topic. I would be looking more as to why you are feeling this way, says that person. We've run out of time.
Consent.
Yeah. Thanks so much for being so honest coming in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dill. Thanks, Anne-Marie. And I hope you're happy.
And thanks, C.
Send our love to C.
Yeah.
Right, quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.